Well, that was a treat in every way. We're glad that those little lambs didn't get eaten, you know. Just wonderful. Well, let's pray, and then we're going to look in John chapter 10 about the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, let's pray. Father, we look to you again, and we're so thankful that your word is truth. We thank you, Lord, that you came to give us the truth. And you've told us that we should think of you as a good shepherd who came and gave his life for the sheep, for the lambs. We're thankful, Lord, that you love us, that tonight you're here with us. We thank you for this, your wonderful word. And we seek your help and blessing, and we thank you for each one that's at camp and for the good day that we have. So speak to us, Lord, through your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I picked a little picture off of a grocery store bulletin board, and it was a picture of a black and white dog. It was written by a little boy. A lot of the letters were backwards, but this is what it said. It said, "Have you seen this dog? If you've seen him, his name is Dog. How valuable we trained him. Our address is 2924 Hood Street, Ames. Gives the reward." And they said, "There's a cash reward of $11.15. And I believe he was given every nickel that he had to get his dog back. Most of these letters were written backwards, but I sense that you could really feel the pain of this little guy, who was, in a sense, was a shepherd, who cared deeply about this lost dog that belonged to him. And in his eyes, that dog was very, very valuable. And I would say, when we think of our Lord caring for us, how good and great is our God. And relationships, indeed, are the core of life, wouldn't you say? And love gives all when it's needed. No questions asked. No cost is too high to pay to retrieve that which belongs to the owner. And I believe God feels the same way about us. And I love the skit. You know, there's wolves out there. Brian took us in Israel in places we shouldn't have gone. He took us up into the Golan Heights, and that was, in fact, my whole idea of Israel and the Judean wilderness was just shattered. I saw these peaceful hills. I saw green pastures everywhere. I didn't know there were that many rocks over there, just rocks everywhere. And as I looked at that, and I thought that David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not fear, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down, he leads me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." And I looked around and I said, "Dear God, you would have to come through for these shepherds." And we watched the shepherds. Well, there were shepherds up by the Golan Heights. There were also minefields and signs that you weren't to be out there. And then we heard wolves crying at night that were echoing through the hills. And I said, "Dear, if you walk faster, I'll be behind you. Otherwise, you're on your own." I didn't say that. I didn't say that, but there are wolves out there and calls in the night. And I said, "You know, this doesn't seem like a really friendly place to shepherd sheep." And, we're so thankful for John 10 because it tells us something about the heart of the Good Shepherd. And he loves us so much, he gives his life for the sheep, and that's his heart. And so we're going to read the first, we'll read through the first 11 verses. "Most assuredly, I say unto you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. They do not know the voice of the strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." I'm thankful tonight for the good lessons about the good shepherd in this chapter. Because there are lots of false shepherds out there. And the Lord says, if you climb up any other way, you're a thief and a robber. My dear wife came to know the Lord when she was in college. We met in the library, and I found out soon that she wasn't a Christian. I took her to InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Got connected with a lot of different young people, and ultimately came to know the Lord as her Savior. And after she did that, after you get saved, what do you want to do? Tell somebody else. Tell those who are dear to you. So she went back home, and she talked to her mom and her dad, and they just weren't sure about all of this. They went to a very liberal church, and so they sent her to talk to Dr. Burns, who was a Harvard graduate. And so, Mrs. We were just Carol Lee then. Carol Lee Dutoy, you went and she said, "You know, I am saved." And she told him how she got saved and how she knows she is saved, and she's so happy she was saved. And he said, "Well, Carol, you know, I have lots of friends who are Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims. You know, there are many roads. There are many roads and many paths. And one thing we can be sure of, God is so good and so loving that those who come other ways will be included and accepted as well." He said, "That's the heart of the living God." And Carol said, well, she didn't know very much, but she said, "I was just reading John 10. It says, if you climb up any other way, you're a thief and a robber." And he said, "I don't think I can help you, Carol. I just can't help you. Your God just is a little too small for me. You know, my God's arms are bigger." And so she went away, and she was really discouraged, because she thought, well, he'd be thrilled with this message. He wasn't thrilled at all. Mr. Leonard Linstead, I loved all of his funny stories, but I loved also his wisdom. And he talked about five different thoughts about checking out whether something is right or wrong. And he says, you see a target. In the middle of that target is, what do people think of Christ? And outside of that target, she said, what do they think of the work of Christ? What do they think of the way of salvation? What do they think of the Word of God? And finally, what do they think of God? He said, you just deal with those five things and you've got it. You don't need anything more than that. Just deal with that. This man I was talking to the other day, they'd come to our house, and I said, I'm here to talk to you about Jesus. I said, well, fine, tell me who Jesus is to you. And he said he was the first created being. And I said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, he was the firstborn, he was the first created. And I said, well, that means he had a beginning on this earth. He was like the firstborn of a family. And he said, well, yes. And I said, well, how can he be the creator of all things then? Did he create himself? In addition to that, can the Bible speak of being the firstborn in different ways? Well, I'm not going to go through it, but, you know, Israel's my firstborn. David the king was the firstborn, king of all the earth. And those words meant something different. So anyway, be assured of this. There are thieves and robbers that will take the sheep in a different direction and will lead them astray. I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus knows his sheep, and he has our best in mind. He knows his sheep, he calls his sheep, he calls his sheep by name, and he knows your name as well. He came through the door. He was the right person at the right time, the right place, for the right purpose. He fulfilled all Scripture, and he came to make the way clear for you and I to know God. His sheep, don't you like that? I'm the shepherd, and he is mine. And there's so many songs that relate to that idea. You know, his sheep hear his voice, and he knows the shepherd's voice. You know, I have a friend who raised a little lamb, became a sheep, in his home. And I don't know whether it was called Fluffy, but that sheep couldn't have had it any better. He took it out to a flock that this man had, but he could go out, and he didn't take me. But he said, I could go to the gate and just say, Fluffy, come. And out of all the, you know, 500, 600 sheep, that sheep would just fire up to the gate, looking at Arne Pedersen. Know the shepherd, known by them. He calls them by name. They follow Christ. They belong to him. They're his sheep. They're members of his flock. They're under his care. Israel had to go into something called a fold, fence around it, like the law. We just gather around the shepherd. And I believe the closer you stay to the shepherd, the safer you are. If there are wolves on the hills, and there are bears and other things out there, cougars, it's best to stay close to the shepherd. And if you stay close to the shepherd, you're protected. The dangers are many. I love Psalms 121. It says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You know, he never slumbers nor sleeps. And we see these shepherds in Israel, they have dogs and rifles. And so they're equipped to deal with it. They're there to protect them. I talked to a man one time, and I talked to him about the Lord a number of different times, and we just weren't getting through. But he resonated with this question. I just raised this with him. Who do you belong to? And it's good to say, well, I belong to the Lord Jesus. I'm part of his flock. He belongs to me. I belong to him. I belong to him. And do you recognize his right in your life? Do you respond to his authority with faith and obedience? I'm thrilled to belong to the Good Shepherd. And I sense I have purpose and significance in life because I'm under his care. I belong to him. And I'm glad to exclaim, he is my shepherd and I belong to him. You ever think about what is a shepherd like? You know, I've had animals and on the farm, took care of them even at an early age, and I don't match the list I'm going to share with you, not even close. But here's what this shepherd is like. He's faithful, loyal, dependable, trustworthy. He's diligent. He's ever watchful. He's strong. He's courageous. He's compassionate. He's gentle and kind. He's exceedingly patient with his wayward sheep. He's brave, he's intelligent, he's selfless, he's devoted. He ever serves their needs, and he loves and cares for his own. I had a good friend who was a farmer, Mark Costello. I don't know if you know him, Mark. He probably comes down here too. But Mark used to name all of his cows. They were all girls before he was married. And he loved every one of those cows. He knew them all, and he would call them. They would respond. Isaiah 40 and verse 11, it says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. There's some wonderful things said about a good shepherd, that he'll feed them. They need to be fed, at least need to be fed where they can get good food. He will gather. He'll bring them to himself. He'll carry them, lift up the weak. He will be gentle with them. And how often the little ones need to be gentle. We've had cows that had calves out in the cold, and I would carry them. My brother would carry them. We'd carry them up to the barn when I was young, and the cow would be bawling behind us. But we weren't anywhere close to what the Good Shepherd is like. But we knew something about caring for creatures when things weren't going well. And what a special place to know that the Lord is like that for us. A caregiver, gentle, strong. He'll feed us, he'll gather us, he'll carry us. Happy is the flock that allows him to feed, gather, lift, carry, and lead them. The good shepherd's work, what does he do for us? Well, he seeks the lost. And it's so easy to go astray, isn't it? All we like sheep have gone astray. We were witnessing to a young girl one time, and I said, you know, the Bible talks about people going astray. They're like sheep. I said, does that fit you? You know what she said? I guess it fits. And so you have a sense that you have a need in your life. She said, I do. This is a true story of a man who loved to play golf. You know, sometimes the Lord sends wake-up calls to get people's attention. And he had a good Christian friend who'd witnessed to him about the Lord, but he wasn't listening. Well, he was out with a group of guys, and he was under a tree with some others. Lightning hit the tree. They're all knocked to the ground, and they were all real thankful that they were still breathing. And so that, you know, his friend said, well, maybe that's a wake-up call. Maybe you better get saved. Well, it wasn't but a month or so. Lightning hit his house. And he was a single guy. And again, you know, maybe that's a wake-up call. Maybe you should be concerned about your soul. Get saved. And then he came home one day, and he opened the door. He could smell this gas leak. And he called the authorities, and the thing blew up. The whole house blew away. And he said, I'm going to get saved. The guy, John, got saved. A friend gave him the good message. He trusted the Lord. You know, God is often speaking to us, indeed, and drawing us, causing us, giving us an appetite. We need you, Lord. He not only seeks the lost, but he saves. Aren't you thankful? I'm the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And I talk to people about being saved, and they say, what do you mean? Put money in the bank? I said, it's not that. I said, is it a save on a goalie, on the soccer team? I said, it's not that. It's keeping the data on so that you don't lose the document. I said, it has nothing to do with that. It has to be rescued from hell and judgment and rescued from yourself and the consequences of sin. That's what it means. Christ is the door. I have to pass through him. So many things that people think today in terms of what I must do and where I must go to really be delivered. And we know it's none of those things, not church membership or baptism or certificates or training. We come through the door. We come through Christ. It's so simple. How simple it is. How simple God's salvation is. I love that. He doesn't give us something that we have to, not very complex. You don't have to know Arabic before you can become a good Muslim and be able to read the Quran. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. I love the Scott grandkids family singers. Zacchaeus got to hear that sometime. Got to play a tape or something. It was so good. Thank you. Just come as a little child with dependency and trust, and the Lord opens the door for you. And that's his desire. He gives a gift. And I've talked to people about this. A gift is so simple. As an acrostic, it's given. It's intended for whosoever. It's free, but it must be taken. And we trust that everyone here has truly received the Lord Jesus by faith and know him as their Savior. That's our prayer. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God. He saves. You know, I'm part of an assembly that went through a tremendous revival during the 70s and the 80s. There are a couple of young men who were in a rock band, Carl Dorner and Andy Krim. And they went to a Lowell Lumstrom crusade, and their hearts were really touched. And they trusted the Lord. They came back, and a couple out that had a little house in the country invited them and their friends in, and they got saved. And they had kids in their home with a Bible study. There was smoke in the air and mini skirts and long hair. And it was just a wild scene. But they accepted them. They came, and more kids got saved. And people were saved at picnics and at volleyball games and at baptisms and at Bible studies. They were saved in homes. They were saved on the street. And Wayne Messley is with the Lord, wrote a book about the God Awakening. He thinks there were 700 or 800 that came to know the Lord in that area at that time. And they all knew they were sinners, but they came to know Christ as their Savior. It's wonderful to be saved, isn't it? And only the Lord Jesus can truly take us in and make us his own and deliver us from ourselves and our sin. And we can thank him continually. We can never give the Lord thanks enough that he's the mighty Savior who saves sinners and saves me. Thankful for that. Not only saves, but he sustains and satisfies. They find green pastures in the Word of God. They eat the good food that the Lord gives them, and they need it. I love in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says this, "So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, malice, all unkind words. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word." We've had some interesting people in our life. Our son met a young man that hadn't been saved too long on the beaches of California. He came to know the Lord. His name is Dave Parrish. And Dave has tattoos all over him. He has piercings all over him. And he just shocked me. You know, I'm just too straight to handle this. But David came, and he came to, he was coming through, and he stopped at our house, and he said, "I'm your Brian's friend," and I listened to him, and I said, "David, come on in. You can spend the night with us and get all this hardware." And I said, "David, the only way I can stand you is to call you my son." He said, "That's good." So I said, I'd introduce people, I said, "This is my son David, enjoy. If you think he needs the gospel, give it to him." So it was, we just got over our, you know, our qualms and so on. So David came in, and we had some good talks over the Word of God. And it was just like a baby who desired the sincere milk of the Word. And I said, "David, we're going to go. And you know, you're a believer. I'm just going to leave this house to you. Caroline and I have a little trip that we have to do. But before I go, I'm going to give you an assignment. We're both school teachers." I said, "Mr. McDonald wrote a book called Be Holy. And if I give this to you, what's the expectation?" "Read it." So we left and we came back and he had all the ear piercings out. And all of the hardware he'd taken off. I said, "What happened, David?" He said, it was moved by Mr. McDonald's book, Be Holy. And he said, "I want to belong to the Lord. And I left a lot of this stuff in because that's who I was and I wanted to win people just like me. But really, I need to work on cultivating, not calling attention to me, but calling attention to Christ. And I want to walk in a way that pleases my Lord." I said, "Well, that's a pretty good book. You can have it." It is so good. Be holy. Doesn't the Lord sustain us and satisfy us? And we're thankful for it. All of this, this true shepherd that came to sacrifice. He gave his life. He laid down his life for sheep. And that was the Father's will. To be obedient to the Father's will meant that the Lord must go to the cross to be our substitute, to bear the shame, to go through the great suffering, to experience the isolation and the rejection, the sin and the curse. How great and wonderful is the love of the Lord. And so we think of the Lord laying down. He didn't run off like a hired hand. He laid down his life for you and me. And there's many of our songs that we love. And I love that song, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness." It's good to have solid hope, to know someone who died for my sins has made it possible for me to stay connected to him even now in heaven. And I have a rope from here to heaven, and it's called hope, and I'm connected with him. And because of that, he brings peace, and he brings his presence into my life. He brings to me a quiet expectation that the best is yet to come because I belong to him. You know, it's so wonderful to know. There isn't, I don't know what else you could know that's more important, but to know that Christ died for my sin and was buried and rose again. And I'm not trusting anything else but his finished work in that alone. Well, the true shepherd does cause problems with people. Verse 19, it says, there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, they're not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Well, that's good logic. You know, this is a tremendous miracle. Could a demon do that? And that's described in chapter 9. The true shepherd brings division. Insane. He's possessed by a demon. Dave Reed is with the Lord. Dr. Dave Reed taught in Emmaus, and he wrote a little book. And the book is he a lunatic, a liar, a leader, a legend, or is he Lord? And, you know, one of those options, Mr. C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity this. It's really a foolish thing that people say about him, Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a good moral teacher, but I don't accept him, his claim to be God. That's one thing we must not say. A man who's merely a man and says the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he's a madman or something worse. But let's not come away with that nonsense about his being a great human teacher. This man we are considering was and is just what he said, or else he's a lunatic or something worse. Now it seems obvious to me that he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend. And consequently, however strange or unlikely it may seem, I have to accept that he was and is the Son of God. Good. Really good. Verses 22 and 23, it talks about the Lord being at the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. The Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. And I said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then this word, this last phrase, really got the Jews boiling. He said, I and my Father are one. The Feast of Dedication was instituted in 165 B.C. by Judas Maccabees to commemorate the cleansing of the temple after the desecration of a Syrian king. It's called the Feast of Light in Hanukkah. It's around December 22nd. The Jews practice it today. And the challenge by the Jews said, well, declare to us plainly, who are you? If you're the Christ, tell us. And he said, I've told you. And actually, they didn't believe his words, and they didn't believe his works, did they? And when we reject his words and his works, we bring darkness into our heads and our hearts. Light rejected brings darkness. You search the scriptures, he said, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are which testify of me. But you're unwilling to come to me that you may have life. I was witnessing to a man one day, and I said, if I answer all your questions, will you trust Christ? He said, well, no. I said, why should we continue the conversation? You know, if you won't, I think we have to respond to truth. If you won't trust him, then what's the point of talking? Aren't you thankful that he seeks lost sinners? That he saves lost sinners? He satisfies them and he gives them security. True security keeps them safe. No true sheep of the Lord Jesus is ever lost. As a father, as a grandfather, as an elder, as a full-time worker, you know, all the little sheep that are part of our flock, I don't want to lose one of them. I don't want any of them to go into Satan's kingdom I don't want any of them to be lost. I don't want their lives to be wasted. I want them to know Christ. I want them to follow the Lord. I want them to know the scriptures better than I do. I want them to be God's men and God's women and serve the Lord and Him only. Do you? Amen. That's what we want. I'm so thankful that He brings security into your life. This world is so insecure, so fearful. Don't you love these words? My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and I've given to them eternal life and they'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. When our little girls were young and impulsive, whenever we went out or in busy traffic, I always grabbed a hold of both arms. I didn't grab their hands. I didn't smash anything. I just hold their arms. And we would go across the street that way because I wasn't depending upon their judgment. They're under Papa's care. You know, that we just had to take them across. We're so thankful that the Lord says His hands are around us as well as the Father's hand. And how sweet is that? How wonderful is that? There's something magnificent about the thought of the picture of the Lord in His omnipotence, His mighty hands around us. And His Father's hands around us. It's a poor illustration, but that's double wrapped. And it's so secure, never to be dropped. A little gal at our meeting has three little boys, and now they have this little princess who's 4 or 5 months old, and her name is Gabrielle. Gabrielle, she's just a beauty, blue eyes, dark hair. And Amy was going to go get the little sheep. Amy Krim was going to go get the little lambs outfits. We were going to find them from our Christmas program. And she said, "You can hold Gabrielle." And I said, "Oh, beat me more." I just love it. And so I picked up little Gabrielle. I was holding her. And she said, "Bill, I know you have big hands, but there's no chance Gabrielle's going to fall through, is there?" And I said, "Amy, be assured of this. I'm committed with breath, strength, and whatever. I'll keep a hold of little Gabrielle. She's not going to fall through these paws." But I loved her heart, don't you? That mama, you take care of this baby for me. And it's also a wonderful truth that as we walk with a good shepherd, I enjoy walks in the woods. I enjoy walks in the country. But walking with the good shepherd in those quiet places to allow him to restore your soul. Isn't that a wonderful time? There's beauty for the eye. There's nourishment for the soul, the heart, and the mind. As you're out there and you're thinking about your Lord and you're walking along just enjoying the countryside or the woods, and you're alone with God, here we read in Colossians that your life is hid with Christ in God. And I'm so thankful that here my Lord would deign to walk with me and that to make Himself known. And may, you know, in my heart's cry for you is that you would know more of the depths of His love. That you would know more of the heights of faith that we could have as we just embrace this one who is our Creator, our Redeemer, our Good Shepherd. And that you would know, day by day, His personal care and love in your life. There's no better thing, is there? As I think about Peter's restoration, he didn't get it right. He blew it big. But the Lord fed him, and then he had those questions for Peter. He said, "Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs." Peter, do you love me more than these? If you do, Peter, would you feed my sheep? And Peter, if you love me, would you feed my sheep? Peter got it three times. And it really reveals the heart of the Lord, isn't it? Anytime we seek to feed His sheep, His people, be the little people or the adults, we're really doing something that is an expression of our love for the Lord Jesus. We love the Lord Jesus, and we'll try to provide for his sheep. John Lennox is an apologist. He's a bright, capable guy, and he can reason with the best of them. We had lunch with him at a Rise Up and Build with John and his wife. And I said, John, do you enjoy those debates? He said, not necessarily. He said, I'm on the spot. And he said, they're painful at times. You know, you have to think and you have to manipulate. He said, but here's why I do it. I do it for the Lord. And I do it because God has equipped me to at least represent him in a world where people mock him. And I'm willing to stand up and be his man and represent the Lord Jesus. You know, John was telling me in so many words that he was feeding his sheep. He loved the Lord Jesus. He was willing to do something hard just to honor him and to love him. The heart of a shepherd. I want to tell you about one more man just in close. You know, as we feed the sheep, we don't have to have a formal setting. I had a friend who was a young man, had family, and his family was a little younger than ours, but he had gotten saved. And so our kids would play together. His name was Dean Robertson. And just the conversations went back and forth. We'd discuss this scripture. We'd talk about this issue. We'd walk. We'd talk about the Lord. We'd pray together. We became good friends. And it was just a thrill to be part of a person's life and just feed him. And he was feeding me. It was reciprocal. And he's a dear friend today. In fact, he was such a friend that we broke in his house. When they went on vacation, we knew it was a mess because she had these little kids. So we broke in and cleaned the place. Not cleaned them out, but we cleaned the place. And he called. He came home and he called. He said, did you break into my house? And I said, I did. He said, well, thanks for cleaning this place up. You know, the Lord just breaks into our life, doesn't he? And he walks with us and he teaches us. And then it's our privilege, just such a privilege, to feed the little ones and to feed the sheep simply because we love him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a good day at camp. We thank you, Lord, for the games and the fun together, the eating together, just the conversation and the fellowship that we have with each other. How we thank you for that. We thank you for this fine place. But we do thank you, Lord, for the Word of God and for those times when our thoughts are turned to the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd. We're thankful, Lord, that we're being fed in a lot of ways. But we're so thankful, Lord, that we're not a dead sea, that you have called us to take what we learn and to build into the life of someone else, that we would be a channel of blessing. And Lord, that's our prayer, that you would be pleased to live your life in us, and all that you are would flow through us, and that we would be a blessing to someone else. Thank you, Lord, for our time together tonight. We thank you that the Lord Jesus seeks the lost, he saves, he satisfies, and he gives us security. And forever, Lord, we'll give you thanks, and we pray in your precious name. Amen.